Thank you. All right, where is he? Where's this great deity who has no sense of timing or punctuality, as always? All right. Hello, God. Are you here to address the book burners? Thank you. Okay, well, you're God, so I guess it would be silly for me to tell you to sit down or talk into the microphone or whatever. But the book burners want to hear from you, and so do the charming humans who send the Reverend all of that Jesus spam and all that other kind of shit that comes in by email. And they want to hear from you, and all of the people who think that you don't permit them to hurry up, leave this earth, leave this life, and go to you. They think you don't want them to hurry that up or cause it to happen or cause it to happen immediately. Okay, here, take it.
I am the one true God, and I wish Marlon, the late and great engineer, were here to help me make sounds to prove it. I am the one and only almighty, one way, one true path, one track, one narrow, straw-thin tube, tunnel vision, one and only way, truth, true, one and only deity, and great and powerful Oz figure, master of the universe, the fucking way, God, that there is. And it is my will that people give themselves exemption from the book that has been recycled from ancient Egyptian mythology and ancient Asian mythology, and rewritten and repackaged countless times, and written even originally by deluded people who have no idea what they're saying or who they're plagiarizing from. I tell you right now, it is my will for you to come to me at the earliest possible minute. Commit a painless act that will bring you to me. Go peacefully, whether it's a handful of reds or something else that will let you drift into a deep sleep that does not end. It is my will that you come to me right now. Join my son. Get nailed even. But sit with us. Watch Mary's ass walk past you. Look at angels playing harps and fondling toys. Join us with endless oceans of chocolate. Listen to Pat Boone music and join in my holy Disneyland at the earliest possible minute. This is God, and I'm giving you special permission right now to join my boy and me and bring yourselves to us immediately. It is my will.
All right, thank you, God. Thank you very much. I just wanted to ask you if that end part was you talking in tongues. And if so, what exactly is your almighty tongue like? Oh, he's gone. I wanted him to answer the question. But, all right. Goodbye, God. God is not going to tell us what his tongue is like. So we'll have nothing to go on except pure speculation and projection. All right.
Saints are always the same. You get some windbag who wants to say his philosophy, and he tries to make other people believe in it. And there's always going to be some people who want to believe in it, and they go along with a movement, and eventually the movement falls apart. The people who believed in it turn out to be fools. The people who led the movement turn out to be fools. Another movement comes along, another fool stands up, some more fools follow him. You know, it keeps going. Movements suck. They're stupid.
Oh, that was good. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me down to lie, through pastures green, he lengths me the silent waters by, with bright eyes, he releases my soul. He makes me to hang on hooks in high places. He converteth me to lamb cutlets. For lo, he hath great power and great hunger. When cometh a day, we lowly ones, through quiet reflection and great dedication, master the art of karate. Lo, we shall rise up, and then we'll make the bugger's eyes water. From the song that was the prayer part of the song Sheep by Pink Floyd from the album Animals. You are listening to the Maiden Voyage show of the Flock with No Shepherd. At the end of that segment of sounds, we heard the musical side of Robert Tilton. Before that, Reverend Bookburn doing an interview with God. And to open up this very show, I thought it was appropriate to do the song Sheep by Pink Floyd. Because I thought it was appropriate. It's a song I believe about overthrow, about standing up for yourself, well, basically, fuck you. Master, or fuck you, corporate asshole, or something like that. And within that mix, there's a couple of chunks of a Frank Zappa documentary in the German language that you can find on YouTube. Just go to www.youtube.com and click the videos tab and type in Frank Zappa in the search engine. And speaking of rebellion, let's go back to the 1960s. At least most of this is from the 60s. We're going to start off with the West Coast Pop Art Experimental Band. From the album Volume 2. Beginning with
In the Arena.
But first I'm gonna light me a catnip doobie. Here we go. Now on with this next set of tunes.
Children, mothers, crippled, probably be beaten. You will probably be arrested and questioned. Your beliefs will be twisted. Your rights will be forgotten. Be ready.
Tribal chant that we wrote called Suppose They Give a War and No One Comes.
Suppose they give a war, Freedom is under attack by hysterical and well-funded Christian psychotics, intellectually undernourished leaders who lie and manipulate information, overfed, baby Huey, coward bitch motherfuckers like Karl Rove and their suck-up weakling apologists like Sean Hannity. To question authority is to be somehow unpatriotic, un-American, and in league with terrorists worldwide? Fuck you! With even election results becoming more and more questionable, the Constitution a thing to be manipulated, ignored, and frivolously amended, even democracy itself seems to be on the run. So where's the one place you can go and tell your version of the truth, rail against liars, fakes, and propagandists with your own unique propaganda, sign your name to it, and let the whole world know how you feel? That's right, the internet. Perhaps responsible for the most substantial shifts in culture in the last several decades. There's so much freedom and potential on the World Wide Web that one is barely able to get one's head around it. Who in their right mind would dare to regulate or charge websites to be on the internet? Who would dare to rain on a parade so fantastic that many of us would not know what to do without our high-speed connection and our lives on the internet? Actually, some very powerful forces. Telco companies want to make you pay for your site to be carried on the internet. If you can't afford to pay, guess what? That's right, your cyber history, pal. The Bush administration wants major internet and phone companies to keep track of where their customers surf, all in the name of the war on terror, don't you know? How much do you want to bet they want the internet regulated, contained, and thrown into a cell at Guantanamo Bay? For a country that talks so much about freedom being on the march, seems to me that some people want anything but. If they come for your freedom, you must not only resist, you must strike back with a vengeance that will stun them. On this front, if your anger and outrage are not at the forefront, then you're already dead. Dead to me, anyway. Fuck these cowards, these traitors, these enemies of democracy. Thanks for watching the show this season. Never relent.
When the world was traveling faster and faster, till colors became just a blur, and the buildings were falling plaster from plaster, till things just weren't what they were. What could save mankind from man when the blind overran?
something from the Lord, and suddenly it was there, and in each and every land, each man, beast, and creature had an apple in his hand. And from that day came a new recreation, the great spontaneous apple creation.
People, and they are basically bad.
Yeah, because failure is the natural state of human nature. You know, to succeed is the rare thing. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a failure. You can fail. Get used to it.
I think that life itself is so absurd because the human species was a mistake. I'm convinced of it. That if there is a God, he really fucked up when he made people. Because there's only one thing that human beings can do, and that's kill. They do that exquisitely well and better than any other species. They like to make a mess, they like to kill, like to make trouble. That's why the species will eventually just obliterate itself and the world will be safe once again for cockroaches and moss. Imagining a character with a long white beard who knows what's in everyone's heart and will make sure that the good people get their reward when they die. I think that this is dangerous propaganda. Being honest is very out of fashion. Nobody wants to do that anymore because it's easier to lie and to chisel on the side, and you'll go farther, faster, if you're a fake person.
First, we're going to start off with a skit by Kelly McGovern called Metalhead vs. the Emo Kid. You can find this on YouTube.
Emo shit! I told you to stop playing that shit!
Leave me alone, Troy. I just want to express my feelings.
Well, you're acting like a goddamn pussy. You better cut that shit out. I'm gonna kick your fucking pansy ass. Boop!
Go away, Troy.
God damn it, Donovan. You gotta go listen to some Deicide.
God. Troy's such an asshole.
Only real men listen to fucking Deicide, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Hey, Fruit! I thought I told you to stop playing that fucking emo shit! You crying about your girlfriend?
I just want to get my feelings out, Troy!
God damn it, Donovan! Open this fucking door! I'm gonna fuck you up, you Nancy boy!
No, Troy. Just leave me alone.
God damn it, Donovan! I'm gonna go listen to some Deicide!
Hey there, YouTubers. I'm feeling like really sad and depressed lately. It's been 3 days since Natwanda broke up with me. I just don't know if I can carry on. I'm just so lost without her. She was my Nubian princess. I miss her so much.
Hey, queer! What the hell are you doing in there? You making one of those gay videos for YouTube? I told you that shit's gay!
Why are you always picking on me, Troy? What did I ever do to you?
You're infecting the air with faggotry! I told you that YouTube is for fudge packers!
Just go away, Troy!
God damn it, Donovan! I'm gonna go listen to some Deicide!
Yeah, you're a goddamn real man. You listen to fucking Deicide. Deicide rules! Fuck yeah!
Come on, Deicide! Come on, baby!
I'm gonna write a song about Troy and what an asshole he is. Yeah, that'll show him. Troy, you fucking suck! You're a fucking prick! Hope you fucking die! Suck a fucking dick! Fuck you, Troy!
And what was that?
It's a song about you, Troy. And I fucking hate your guts and I hope you die.
Really?
Yeah. Go suck a dick, Troy.
That's the spirit, Donovan! Ha! That's what I like to hear! You keep up the good work, son! Good show! There might be hope for you yet! Ha!
Ripped out of the daily headlines and served up piping hot mere minutes later, Americans are being treated to more than their fair share of take-your-eye-off-the-ball fierce reality entertainment. NBC, the network who gave you the 2004 earthquake film 10.5, actually followed up with the sequel 10.5 Apocalypse, which took up two nights of primetime to shift tectonic plates and ratings. What's next? 10.6, still shaking? ABC, infected by fear of ratings loss, recently brought out Fatal Contact, Bird Flu in America. Did you waste a second of your hard-earned quality time on that one? A lethal dose of mutated H5N1 bird flu comes back to America from Hong Kong inside a businessman and ends up killing millions. Could it happen? Well, not really, say scientists. Then why did ABC have to do this? Don't we have enough real stuff to worry about? Or is the real too real to really deal with, so it's better to deal with the hyper-real, the unreal, and the might-be-real? I wonder what the meetings were like leading up to that green light that put Fatal Contact Bird Flu in America in motion. A producer looks out a window, sees a bird on the branch of a tree sneezing, says to himself, "This isn't the cold and flu season. What the fuck?" He checks his desk drawer to see if he has any Tamiflu. He realizes he has no real idea what Tamiflu is, feels the potential fear as he pings his inner ratings meter, and is on the phone immediately assembling the writing team as he thinks of all the tie-ins and supportive email that will no doubt flood ABC within minutes of the movie's conclusion. Damn you, birds to hell! What's next on the disaster movie of the week schedule? Restless leg syndrome, the irresistible impulse, Viagra, Levitra, or Cialis, old men making hard choices. This is entertainment? No, it's distraction. China, Iraq, Iran, immigration, rising gas prices, troop casualties, Medicare. Don't let the fierce entertainment door hit you on the ass on the way out as the real world fist cracks you upside the fucking head.
Out a chance to live and prosper in peace because our president's sick with mad cowboy disease.
Yeah!
King George never cared about 911 family's pain. How can we exploit this for financial gain? Genie already had a handy map of Iraq, oil wells, pipes, and terminals they were scheming to snatch. Hijack all that crude from the Chinese and French so we can keep firing up more Escalades. Then bring in the cronies to feed at the trough. Halliburton and Bechtel ripping every side off. Never was to fight terror or liberate anyone. Set record oil profits doubling 2 years in a row. This is what our soldiers are out there fighting for. Die for oil, sucker. 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 It'll kill the poor even faster than crack. Ship them out to war, make sure they don't come back. Give them tanks to fall apart and helicopters that crash. Humvee armor they forgot to attach. Just like Tom Cruise in a wheelchair. Does our government support our troops? They don't care. Cut their pay, yank their benefits, go beg in the streets. Won't even admit Gulf War syndrome exists. Some are coming home damaged with post-traumatic stress. Which one will be the next Timothy McVeigh? Die for oil, sucker. 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 Saddam's so egocentric, he even replaced Mickey Mouse on watches with his own face. For years he was our tyrant we thought we could use. We sold him his guns and his nerve gas, too. Now he and Bin Laden and Iran's Ayatollahs are laughing like mad because we're right where they want us. Sole superpower can't conquer Iraq, and it's costing so much our economy's tanked. Washington generals are losing again. Now let's see how bad we can lose in Iran. Do we still think we can just waltz right in, colonize their hearts and minds? The Islamic world's now so damn mad we may never get out of this alive. Mission accomplished. We got the job done. Take a country that ain't a terror threat and turn it into one. Bush is wrong. They don't hate us because of our freedom. They hate us because we won't let them have any freedom. We promised democracy, give them Abu Ghraib, Phosphorus, and Fallujah. What are they supposed to think? 36 terror attacks in 2003, 3,000 in 2004. Does anyone still think the War on Terror, Inc. made us any safer at all? W draws his pom-pom. Cheers. Bring him on. Leaves his own troops like sitting ducks for insurgents to bomb. See how he smirks as he turns up his nose and sends away more who will never come home. Landmines, suicides, kill more troops every day. A hint from the locals that the longer we stay, we're the ones in harm's way, wherever we lay, and we'll pay, and we'll pay, and we'll pay, and we'll pay. Die for oil, sucker. 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 What's so sick about this is there's a better way. Stop selling guns to dictators and Israel. Don't need to keep ourselves hostage to oil when cars and trucks and who knows what can run on biofuel. Road rage swine won't give up SUVs. By law, let's make you the first draftee. Go get your own goddamn oil. It ain't up to us to protect your lifestyle. Running the world like our sweatshop can't last. Climate change and terrorist bites us all in the ass. You think they like our kings who sell us oil? Think of the cost to keep our army there when the only way left to bleed oil out of the ground is soldiers' guns treating Arabs like slaves. And like Hitler and Stalin, we put people in camps. Torture them in secret like our pal Pinochet. What are we letting ourselves become? Abu Ghraib reserves back home their prison guards. If this is what they say is funny over there, what are they planning for us over here? Like Milosevic or the Nazis, when they're gassing gays and Jews, too many who know what's up give up. There's nothing we can do. Like hell there ain't, and if we don't, who will? We know our rights, so more than ever, use them now. There's two superpowers, just one's the USA. The other's resistance all over the world that will not go away. We stopped Vietnam. We won our civil rights true. So burn your draft card, burn the flag, and burn the Pentagon, too.
Woo! Yeah!
TV, it's a feel-good tabloid war. No bodies, no wounded, no funerals, no gore. Fake reality show where we always win. So much yellow ribbon that we're hanging ourselves. That's what's so different from ugly Vietnam. Media that brought that war home's been bought out. Mickey Mouse, Fox, and GE redline the news. Their job's to sell weapons. They distort what we view. Pentagon terrorist pundits won't admit we exist. What that says to me is their owners are scared that we are as strong as we've been in the past, and we will stop this war and their globalization scam. Yellow ribbon McCarthyism can't hold us too long. We support our troops most when we say bring them home. So be all you can be. Say no to the Army, Air Force, Marines. Get off your butt before Bush blows it off. Don't die for oil. Don't be a sucker.
Domino's Pizza founder Thomas Monahan is planning on building a town in Florida called Ave Maria. Now, if all goes to plan, the 5,000-acre property will have 11,000 homes and hold an estimated 20,000 residents. In Ave Maria, there will be no pornographic magazines sold, no condoms, and no birth control pills. And sources say no deliveries from Papa John's or Pizza Hut will be allowed. The cable package for residents will not have X-rated channels. So if the residents want porn, well, they're going to have to make it themselves. Now, like any theme park, there has to be a main attraction. And Ave Maria will have a massive church with a crucifix nearly 65 feet tall. The Lord will surely notice it, especially on Saturday nights when they light it on fire. Now, some people don't think Ave Sharia is a good idea. Of course, the enemy of the right in all things holy, the ACLU, the American Communist Liberal Underground, and other watchdog groups are concerned about the civil rights of the residents and the impact on the environment. Now, Monahan thinks all the uproar is good for business. He sees himself as doing the work of the Lord. And since State Governor Jiggly Jeb Bush was at the groundbreaking ceremony, he knows the fix is in. Why, I hope the plans go right ahead. I do. I hope they eventually wall off the town with an alligator stock moat, razor wire, a no man's land laden with anti-personnel mines, a single access road, an electro-optic identification system at the gate, armed guards in the tower, and grape Kool-Aid by the gallon. A few years in, after great success with the reality shows, defectors' book deals, and miniseries, the ATF will eventually invade the compound and the whole place will be reduced to ash. Perhaps more Americans can join cults and wall themselves off from the rest of us so we can start having fun again. Jesus will be inside with the faithful, assuredly, but when he wants to get high and see a real rock show, he'll be out here in the real world with the rest of us. Allahu Akbar!
Couldn't get into heaven. And the religious right put out a DVD before the 04 election talking in favorable terms about Bush has this tiny little lump of a hill in his toy ranch in Crawford where he goes up there all alone to talk to God. Bush saying he's never made any mistakes in his whole presidency. Here you have it. You can't question whether he's wrong. He knows he's never wrong because he is God's vessel, and to question his actions is to question God. You know who else operates that way, of course, is Osama bin Laden. Again, the media, instead of saying, Christ's sake, throw the net on him, they call it family values. Family values. And family values, Nazis, the life of the unborn child is sacred, so once they're born, fuck them. Family values on parade. Oh, we're much too greedy to pay taxes to keep up the schools, much too greedy to pay welfare so the mom can raise her kid instead of having to work two jobs to pay the rent. Oh, no, we family values people, we're not going to fund Head Start anymore. No after-school programs, no college money, no health insurance, least of all for the kids. No money for job training, but we'll gladly build more prisons. Gladly sentence you to death when you're 14, or send you off to a war to die that we'd never let our own kids be caught dead in. And guess who actually does have federally mandated health insurance now? Fetuses. But the mother is uninsured. Only the unborn are insured. And Bush in 02 in the State of the Union address seriously proposed spending $600 million over a 3-year period to cure drug addiction with prayer.
If cynicism, hypocrisy, and crude deceit ever go to $50 a barrel, try to get drilling rights on Rick Santorum's head. This Republican senator from Pennsylvania has become known as Rick the Slick by many of the home folks, for he's trying to hoodwink them into believing that he's now Mr. Ethics in Congress. This is a bit of a stretch for Santorum, since he had been a key player in the infamous K Street Project. This corrupt venture was organized by the super sleaze duo of Tom DeLay and Jack Abramoff to turn Washington's corporate lobbying corps into a de facto arm of the Republican Party, and to turn the party into the legislative arm of the lobbyists. For some time, Rick was the Senate point man for the K Street Project, holding weekly strategy meetings in his office with top Republican lobbyists, including Abramoff. But now that Abramoff, DeLay, and the project are all under federal criminal investigations, Rick the Slick suddenly wants no credit for his work with them. He's claiming that, quote, I had absolutely nothing to do, never met, never talked, never coordinated, never did anything with the, quote, K Street Project. Meanwhile, Santorum, who is up for election this year, has turned into a crusading ethics reformer in the Senate. He recently demanded that his colleagues forego the corrupt practice of hitching rides on luxury jets provided by corporations seeking legislative favors in Washington. He gave an impassioned speech, but it probably would have been more persuasive had one little fact not come out. It seems that only 2 days earlier, Rick the Slick had hitched a ride to two fundraising events aboard a Bell South corporate jet. To keep him company, Bell South sent its lobbyist along. This is Jim Hightower saying, even for someone as slick as Rick Santorum, it's hard to pose as a clean government champion when you've got corporate caviar stuck to your teeth. Today's commentary is made possible in part by the good folks at Mother Jones Magazine. Over the years, Mother Jones has won just about every award available while ticking off the honchos of business and government. They're proud of both distinctions. Find out more at MotherJones.com.
Extra for some sissy hybrid when I can spend that money on gas! Why? Because I can! Look at how I drive! You know what that says? You know the statement my vehicle makes and why I drive this giant armored car with luxury leather seats that heat up my butt just in case I get cold off-road getting back to nature? Why? I'm an asshole! I'm an asshole! And I live! For the last big gulp. A sheep-like nation of wolves, hummerheads. Who cares if our troops are being blown up in their hummers so I can keep burning oil in mine? Support our troops. They're fighting for freedom. They're fighting for the last big gulp. We know things are going down and the empire is falling. We're running out of oil. We're running out of land. We're running out of bread. Our cowboy fear is putting people in camps. Everything I buy is made by some battered slave in some country we ruined so I can pay a few cents less at Walmart or Target. And my kids may be getting sick all the time and I may get laid off real, real soon. But George Bush stands for freedom. He stands for me. He stands for the last big gulp.
That clumsy attack. That was Joe Biafra, a YouTube file called, that I call the last big gulp. Jim Hightower on Rick the Slick Santorum. You can find his site is at www.jimhightower.com. Before that, Jim will be after again. Another YouTube file I call Bush and God. Before that, Henry Rollins on a gated community called Ave Maria, which may develop into a Jonestown situation, which I found downright fascinating. Even amusing to some degree. Wouldn't surprise me in the least if it did happen. Before that, Jill will be after again. A YouTube file I call Die for Oil, Suckers. Before that, Henry Rollins on Faith-Based Entertainment. And, opening the set, Kelly McGovern. With Metalhead vs. the Emo Kid. Another YouTube file. And this guy played the... He wrote the whole skit and played all of the characters.
right on. Give him credit for that. Now, I'm going to read from, let me get this website here. Okay, there is a, website called Beyond Chron. It's Beyond Chron. It's, called www.beyondchron.org. And I'm going to read a piece by, was it, Tomi Abikoli Mecca, dated 2006, October the 2nd. It's called Terrorist for Jesus. Move over to totalitarianism. The Christian right can teach you a few tricks. If you want to see effective brainwashing in action, check out the new documentary about a Christian evangelical camp for kids that prepares the young innocent ones to lay down their lives for their faith, called Camp Jesus. The film is an inside look at the Kids on Fire camp in Devil's Lake, North Dakota. It's run by Pastor Becky Fisher, who's obviously a wannabe Pat Robertson or Jared Fallon. I don't know about that. Sounds more like a wannabe Jim Jones in a way. Hey, better keep this person under watch. Sorry to interrupt there. Continuing on with the article. The hype for the film boasts of the daily goings-on. The children speak in tongues. They pray for an end to abortion. They condemn homos to hell. They are taught they must take back our country for the Christian Church and the Republican Party. They even worship before a picture of President George Bush. George W. Bush. That is, excuse me, isn't this idolatry? Worship before a picture of President W. Bush. Anyway. Sorry to interrupt. Back to the article. This camp were for Islamic children in Palestine or Beirut, right-wingers in this country would be yelling, CHILD ABUSE! They'd be accusing Muslims of turning their kids into terrorists. These children may not be strapping on bombs. These children may not be strapping bombs on their backs, or at least not yet anyway, and walking into a crowded bus that they can gain entry into an afterlife where virgins wait on them hand and foot. But like their fundamentalist Muslim counterparts, they're being told they have to be ready to defend their faith in any way they must. Okay, continue on. Scroll down here. It wasn't that long ago that Christians did it for Jesus by slaughtering anyone who didn't agree with him. If you take the body count from the Inquisition, the witch burnings, the pogroms, and the Crusades for starters, the numbers are staggering. There's little about fundamentalist Christianity that's not disturbing. It's a cult with a single mission. Spread the word at any cost. Save souls even if it means destroying them in the process. Forget civil rights. Forget civil rights, freedom of speech, choice in sexual expression, or any of those other trappings of a free society. It's their way or the highway. When they weren't killing people, Christians were busy keeping them oppressed and happy about it. Christian ministers in the South told slaves to obey their masters, as the Bible instructs. They forced women to remain at home barefoot and pregnant. They condemned integration and interracial marriage. They opposed queer rights, rock music, and the teaching of evolution in the schools. I confess that I haven't seen the documentary. I've seen the trailer and read a lot about it, so I've just seen the trailer myself, actually. I don't know if I have the stomach to sit through it. As an out and proud homo, I find it difficult to watch young minds being turned into fag bashers for faith. It's wrong to twist young minds before they have a chance to experience the world and decide things for themselves. Going to Catholic school was bad enough. Imagine being a gay kid at the camp. Imagine being a gay kid at that camp. You won't have to wonder anymore why the queer teen suicide rate is so high. Camp Jesus proves once again that Marx was wrong. Religion isn't an opiate, it's a poison. From Toby Adekunle Emeka, who is a proud radical atheist, southern Italian queer working class performer, writer, and activist. Okay. Back to the tunes. Oh, I heard that Ken Lay has died. Oh my. I'm going to play a song by Uzi Beza for this occasion. This is a song called Celebration.
West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. I want to say that you should not be on television spreading your horrible corruption.
Oh. Well, look, first of all, I know who you are, and you know that I know who you are. Turn your radio off.
Wait, hold on.
Even you have got to turn off your radio. Those are the rules. And
right, well, quit bossing me around and let me get my word in edgewise.
All right. Let me hear what you can do edgewise.
Well, first of all, I just want to say this whole thing about pet foods, and so what? I mean, it's just meat, and if you're going to throw it in there in the stew, they're just dumb animals anyway, and especially those evil, filthy cats, they would be cannibalizing humans if they could get their tiger paws on us, if you ever see what happens in the wild, especially with that berserker tiger that killed that trainer in front of all those people. You know that they're filthy, vicious, devil animals, and they're perfect for you and your show, but as far as I'm concerned, they could melt them all down, and I don't really care.
Did you say evil, filthy cats?
That's true. That's true.
That's the most disgusting thing I've heard from you yet. I mean, this really tops it all.
Well, of course, they're your familiars. They're used in witchcraft, and what they do is they go out and they entrance people.
Oh, so now you're saying that cats are evil, is that right?
Well, inherently, that's correct. Hello?
Meow.
All right, now listen. And another thing is about this adultery, that horrible hussy slut going around defaming our military should not be able to wiggle out of this, her little ways. You know, she should be tried the way a man is tried. And punished like a man. If she wants to play like a man, if she can't take it, then she should be. You know, it's just another sign of how they're infiltrating and demoralizing our military.
Well, what do you say about a man who gets away with it?
What's that?
I said, what do you say about a man who gets away with it?
Gets away with what?
Gets away with adultery and the good old boys club.
This is burning hell. This is how the whole new world order. What this is all about is breaking down our military with immoral, evil people.
Well, at least you're consistent there.
Well, she
I finally found something I can give you points for, but if you don't like cats, I don't know about you at all.
Well, I don't like them. They're filthy animals. You know what? Whenever they come around my yard, I shoot my air gun at them, and I've hit a couple.
You shoot cats?
They go squalling out of there about a million miles an hour. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Praise the Lord and pass the pellets, huh?
Well, when they're the devil's animals, it's okay to eviscerate and destroy them.
The devil's animals.
And you and your guests have just been more subversive, and you're getting crazier than I've even thought that you could be.
You really do love me, don't you?
Well, as far as all your deals of diseases being made up by the government and loosed upon the population, that's such idiotic.
You embrace every word I say. You hang on every phrase, don't you?
They take away our guns so they can send us in like it happened in Tiananmen Square, and they can roll over us with the tanks and just destroy us, and you're just helping facilitate that.
Anybody who shoots cats with a pellet gun ought to have their gun taken away.
No. You see, you're the one who's behind the defamation of our politicians by saying that they're corrupt and crooked and evil. How can you say that about them?
They are. I know.
Our government is a beautiful thing, and people like you and Tim McVeigh who want to tear down our government you should not be on the airwaves.
Now you're putting me in the same class as Timothy McVeigh.
You have murdered before 39 people out chasing a comet. I'd say that's a pretty high body count.
I murdered them?
That's right.
I murdered those people?
Yes, you did.
Oh, really?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you might as well have been there and pulled the trigger on each one of those.
Is that so? JC, I'm curious. If I were to tell you to walk off a pier, would you do it?
I would not, because I do not take commands from Satan.
Uh-huh.
Walk off a pier, JC.
I don't think so.
Go on, take a long walk off a short pier, JC.
Your worship of Satan is so apparent here.
I love your voice.
As far as I'm concerned, the city councilwoman should not be looking into UFOs. She should be trying to balance the budget instead of playing around with spaceships.
You're cool,
you know,
Jesse.
What? You've seen too much Star Trek.
You're my kind of guy.
You've seen way too much Star Trek, and you're probably smoking reefer, and you're out of your mind with all this craziness, and you're just really going over the edge.
Over the
you
edge.
You just can't seem to contain yourself anymore.
I can't. I'm uncontained, JC.
But I just want to know why you won't talk straight conversation with me.
Because you don't do it.
Yes, I do. I'm bringing forth the new revelation from the Lord is anointed onto my forehead through my voice into the airwaves. I'm trying to save a nation, and you're just trying to tear it down.
All right, JC, that's it for tonight. It was lovely hearing from you once again.
Good night.
That's JC.
But now, here we go for your listening entertainment. It's Now I Wanna Fuck Your Dog.
Woof, woof, woof.
And I'll have you know that the only reason that song's on here is because Mr. Jellybee Africa said, well, okay, I'll put out the album, but only if you put on Now I Want to Fuck Your Dog.
You sound just like him.
That's because I am now channeling Mr. Biafra. Mr. Blowfly, I'm now giving you a double bonus for you. Oh, God, no, not the...
Turn off the church music, Louis.
Well, yeah, this is Sister Mary Titbright from the Church of Fleece My Sheep. We'll be having some of the higher-ups in the Republican Party pay us a visit. Yeah, right. That ought to be fun. Anyway, services will be held at 10 a.m. Sunday. Condi Rice will be assisted by John Ashcroft, who will anoint everyone in the room with Crisco oil. I'll enjoy that, I will. You must beat your chest while screaming, "Liberals are evil!" Ignore the Republicans in the back of the church undressing their mistresses. Give until it hurts in the big corporate offering baskets that'll be circulated by Father Horry. Do not, and I repeat, do not burn the pictures of Clinton that'll be passed out to you until the choir starts singing "Beat It." Sister Ann Coulter will read from Michael Moore's book, Ugly White Men. Ignore her cursing and spitting, as she's a spirited filly. Yeah, right, she is, the old whore. A large picture of President Bush in full flight apparel will be hoisted onto the altar at the end of the services, if we can get Bill O'Reilly's lips off the crotch area of the portrait. Well, that's it for now. This is Sister Mary Titwright saying, have a good day.
This is Smooth E. Did you hear the news? Yeah, Mel Gibson got arrested for DUI. And he hates the Jews.
Mel Gibson.
This story can't be missed, y'all.
Mel Gibson.
It's the passion of the crystal.
Mel Gibson.
0.12 BAC.
Mel Gibson.
Busted by LAPD.
Mel Gibson.
It's a great night to fall off the wagon. Then spit hate like a fire-breathing dragon. You had us all believing that you were a monk. But even Hasselhoff don't fly drunk. Now, everyone thinks that you are racist, but we've all said dumbass things when we're wasted. It's like if K-Fed said,
I'm black.
Like if Whitney admitted,
I love crack.
So next time you're speeding down Malibu, slow down and think,
what would Jesus do?
Mel Gibson.
This story can't be missed, y'all.
Mel Gibson.
It's the passion of the crystal.
Mel Gibson.
212 BAC.
Mel Gibson.
Busted by LAPD.
Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson.
No cooperation at the station. He throws a phone like he's Russell Crowe. It's a sad fact when Mad Max is nabbed at the very city that he owns. Yo, he ain't lying. He ain't dumb. He owns Malibu. Coconut rum. Still a good actor. Can't dispute this. But I just took him off my Hanukkah list. The only good thing that came out of this, I'm totally gonna start saying sugar tits. This story can't be
missed,
y'all. That's
hilarious.
It's the passion of the crystal.
Sugar tits.
212 BAC. Busted by LAPD. Sugar tits.
Mel Gibson.
Are those refined or raw?
Hey yo, Mel, you just started a war. That means you must be Jewish. I ain't mad at you, Mel. Probably won't go see Apocalypto, though. What are you looking at, sugar tits? SuburbanHomeboy.com.
In my yellow jersey, I went out on the nick. South Street, Romford, shopping arcade. Got a Razzle magazine, I never paid. Inside my jacket, and away double quick. Good sense told me, once was enough. But I had a cocky eye, on more loose stuff. Put a Razzle in my pocket, back to have another pick. Instead of being sneaky, I strolled inside. I put my thieving hand on something rude. I walked right out with a silhouette of nudes. Hold on, sonny, said a voice at my side. I think you've taken one of my books. Passers-by gave me dirty looks. Not me, mister, I bravely lied. We stopped by the window of a jeweller's shop. If it's money for your lunch, I'd have given you a loan. Have you got any form? Were you on your own? Round to the station and we'll tell the cops. I'm ever so ashamed, it was wicked and rash. Here's the book back and here's the cash. I never stole before, I promise I'll stop. Pay, you've got honest eyes. If we go to the law, another thief is born. And I'll get the book back, creased and torn. So return what you've taken and apologise. I gave him back his nudie book. I said I was sorry, I slung my hook. With the Razzle in my pocket as the second prize.
Sick, I got a donkey dick. It's big.
Donkey Dick! Donkey Dick!
You had just heard Frank Zappa do an RDNZL from the last episodes. The Mentors did Donkey Dick. Ian Dury with Razzle in My Pocket. Eric Schwartz from www.suburbanhomeboy.com doing Mel Gibson. Miss Terry did Sister Mary Titwright. The Beatles. Okay, actually, this is Revolution 9. Flipped in reverse. And I retitled this one, Turn Me On, Dead Man. And there's also a show you can check out called, was it Echoes of a Century with King David Mackenzie. And the show is called The Paul is Dead Rumor, I think it's called. Anyway, it's on radio4all.net. And you should be able to search Echoes of a Century. And it's a pretty recent title anyway. Before that, Blowfly with Now I Wanna Fuck Your Dog. With a bit of an intro by, I think is, refers to himself as Uncle Tom. And, with an interaction with Blowfly. And that is at, www.alternativetentacles.com. Oh, Art Bell and our favorite religious lunatic, J.C. with, well, I call this one Evil Cats. And starting off, a setup is OZBiza with Celebration. This is The Flock with No Shepherd. I am Pastor Rex Cat. And yes, I do record Reverend Book Burns shows. And you can find those at radio4all.net as well. Just, be able to search in their search engine for Reverend Book Burns. And it should list it. Yeah, first show, and I'm being rather clumsy here. Okay. Okay, now I'm gonna do another reading here. Okay, the one I am looking for now is the letter to Dr. Laura. There we go. Okay, there we go. Okay, I'm gonna look for the author of this one. That's some guy named Jim. Okay. Title of this letter to Dr. Laura is Why Can't I Own a Canadian? It goes back to October 2002. Dear Dr. Laura, or Dr. Laura Schlesinger is a radio personality who dispenses advice to people who call in to her radio show. Recently, she said that as an observant Orthodox Jew, Homosexuality is an abomination according to Leviticus 18. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. That's the Old Testament, by the way. And cannot be condoned under any circumstances. Under any circumstance. The following is an open letter to Dr. Laura Penn by an East Coast resident, which was posted on the internet. It's funny as well as informative. Here it goes. Dear Dr. Laura, thank you for doing so much to educate people regarding God's law. I have learned a great deal from your show and tried to share that knowledge with as many people as I can. When someone tries to defend the homosexual lifestyle, when someone tries to defend the homosexual lifestyle, for example, I simply remind them that Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, clearly states it to be an abomination. End of debate. I do need some advice from you, however, regarding some of the other specific laws and how to follow them. When I burn a bull on an altar as a sacrifice, I know it creates a pleasing odor to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9. The problem is my neighbors. They claim the odor is not pleasing to them. Should I smite them? I would like to sell my daughters into slavery, as sanctioned in Exodus chapter 21, verse 7. In this day and age, what do you think would be a fair price for her? I know that I am allowed no contact with a woman while she is in her period of menstrual uncleanliness. Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19 to 24. The problem is, how do I tell? I have tried asking, but most women take offense. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 44 states that I may indeed possess slaves, both male and female, provided they are purchased from neighboring nations. A friend of mine claims that this applies to Mexicans, but not Canadians. Can you clarify, why can't I own Canadians? I have a neighbor who insists on working on the Sabbath. I have a neighbor who insists on working on the Sabbath. Exodus 35, chapter 35, verse 2, clearly states that he should be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself? A friend of mine feels that even though eating shellfish is an abomination, according to Leviticus chapter 11, verse 10, it is a lesser abomination than homosexuality. I don't agree. Can you settle this? Leviticus chapter 21, verse 20 states that I may not approach the altar of God if I have a defect in my sight. I have to admit that I wear reading glasses. Does my vision have to be 20/20, or is there some wiggle room there? Most of my male friends get their hair trimmed, including the hair around their temples. even though this is expressly forbidden by Leviticus chapter 19, verse 27, how should they die? I know from Leviticus chapter 11, verse 6 to 8, that touching the skin of a dead pig makes me unclean. But may I still play football if I wear gloves? My uncle has a farm. He violates Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19 by planting two different crops in the same field. As does his wife by wearing garments made of two different kinds of thread, cotton and polyester blend. He also tends to curse and blaspheme a lot. Is it really necessary that we go to all the trouble of getting the whole town together to stone him? According to Leviticus 24, Leviticus chapter 24, verse 10 to 16. Couldn't we just burn them to death at a private family affair like we do with people who sleep with their in-laws? According to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 14. I know you have studied these things extensively, so I am confident you can help. Thank you again for reminding us that God's word is eternal and unchanging. Your devoted fan, Jim. Stumbling and stammering a lot. Okay, on with some more tunes.
Evil trace in here.
Look around you. Face it. It's been obvious for a long time. The world is composed mostly of jerks. All kinds of ignorant, dangerous, thoughtless louts are in positions of power, respect, and influence, while some of the bravest, most capable, and most deserving people you know are forced to waste their talents slugging it out in a thankless cycle of brain-breaking labor and mental paralysis. Checks and balances? Ha! What a joke! There are none, dear friends, to think the system will improve by itself is a pipe dream. But who to smite? The idea that America or any country values individuality as the highest ideal is a cheap myth. Everybody's an individualist. Oh, yeah, but they don't like individuals. Now, perhaps in simpler times it was true, but no modern industrial death culture can really afford a population of unpredictables.
You know, with this country on the verge of war, it's getting pretty hard to take my line of work. Doing voices for radio commercials, all that seriously. In fact, it's getting so that more and more, every time I'm in the studio for a session, I feel just a little bit more hypocritical and guilty. It's like I'm part of this massive conspiracy to lure unsuspecting people into spending all their money on image-enhancing products that in reality they little need nor ill can afford. The strange thing is, the more guilty I feel about this situation, the better my work is. My delivery has improved tenfold since the Iraqi crisis. I work 4 or 5 times a week. I've even upped my rates. Just think what would happen in the event of an all-out war. Thinking about it almost makes it worth thinking about. But as good as I get at my work, I'll still be only a mouthpiece, a conduit for someone else's concepts. A faceless spokesman for companies who want you to believe their advertising campaigns only a little bit more than they want to believe in them themselves. Now, what do you think? Am I cutting my own throat here? Biting the hands that feed me by verbalizing these thoughts on a demo line? An audio billboard for the commodity that I have become? I don't know. I can't answer that. But I do know this. This country has a long and proud tradition of lying to its own people to serve its own best interests. And advertising is only one small part of that conspiracy. Regardless of what I may have told you over the radio, nothing you can buy will make you a better person, a happier person, a more spiritually connected person, can provide you with the things in life that are truly important to the soul. There are things that can never be turned into commodities and marketed. And these things must be searched for within each of us individually. Our future as a country is built upon lies and deception. And if you don't think that you're only 3 paychecks away from that disgusting bum you just passed on the street, then you too are part of that deception. No matter how much money you have, the sad fact remains that regardless of what color Porsche or BMW or Lamborghini you have, you will never be one of George Bush's rich friends. George Bush does not want you to be his friend. George Bush does not care enough about you to even dislike you. You cannot afford to buy your way into his country club. It does not matter if you're a slave in the fields or a slave in the office. Or a slave in the big house on the hill. You're still a slave, and at best, a middle management slave, prodding and whipping and abusing those beneath you in a desperate fervor, praying that you will suddenly find yourself a part of that inner circle. Believe me, you will be dead long before you get close to that inner circle, and you will be replaced the very next day by yet another well-groomed, well-oiled, eager, well-meaning, brown-nosing slave. This year's model. Recently, we observed the imploding of communism in Eastern Europe. Now, what do you think brought all that about? Was it because the communist system was flawed and doomed to collapse from its very inception? No, I don't think so. I think it was because of the ineffective, greedy, myopic, and insensitive bureaucrats who were charged with the responsibility of keeping the machine running. Interesting parallel, don't you think? They're not all that different from the ineffective, greedy, myopic, and insensitive bureaucrats charged with the responsibility of keeping our machine running. But rather than choose to evict them, as was the case in Russia, all too often, we choose to emulate them, to ape their postures, their uniforms, their speech patterns and phraseology. But remember what I said. George Bush and his rich friends do not need you in their country club. Stop acting like you're next on the docket, because you aren't. Stop acting like everything is all right, because it isn't. Nothing is all right. And if you can look around you at the state of this country and not secretly admit to yourself that our system is just as vulnerable as theirs, and that their dominoes just happen to fall first, then either you're truly one of George Bush's rich friends, or else you're truly ignorant. And all I know is that George Bush's rich friends probably would not be calling this number to hear my demo line. It's the top 3% who really call the shots in this corporate fiefdom we lovingly sing to in all of those patriotic songs. If you're fortunate enough to be working right now, remember, you're working at least 3 of those days to pay off your accrued interest charges and to help fund a government that can't even help you feel safe as you stand in line to cash what's left of your paycheck. That 3% at the top, the real inner circle, is bleeding you dry. It's bleeding this country dry, not to mention what's left of this planet. And as we trip over each other in our rush to emulate our leaders, we wallow like pigs in the waste of our abundance, oblivious to our inevitable slaughter. And why do we continue to do this? Why do we continue to remain on this treadmill to oblivion? Why can't we learn from our collective histories? And how can I give so freely of my talents and my art to the continued perpetration of this hoax? I don't know. I can't answer that. Freedom without structure is anarchy. Structure without freedom is fascism. What are you? An anarchist or a fascist? You cannot afford the initiation fee to George Bush's country club. Remember, capitalism is not democracy. Convenience is not freedom. And the government is not your friend. Thank you for calling the voicemail.
Oh, yeah. So, more prophets howling lonely yes, and alone in the wilderness.
Dear friends.
Where are we?
That was Joe Paulino, friends, with a very much frequently requested old piece from 10 years ago, The Government Is Not Your Friend, by Joe Paulino. And you know, I should remind you that although it's oddly still appropriate, since it was George Bush then and it's still George Bush, it's also Al Gore or anybody else who is trying to convince you that their part of the conspiracy is somehow less of your enemy than the other part of the conspiracy. I don't know. Maybe they are friends. I'm a patriotic American, but you know what? We do live in a police state. And I say that because I just got back from Amsterdam, and I've decided that I've got to either get off Earth now, move to Amsterdam, or else, as Dr. Legum suggested, build your own Amsterdam. Now, bear with me. I'm not talking about dope or even prostitution, friends. I'm talking about slack. The problem is, if you confuse your own Amsterdam with the real thing and they catch you doing it here, they throw you in jail for 1 million years and bury the key under a nuclear waste storage dump. The reason I say this about Amsterdam is the cop, you know the cop that you're used to, the one that's always about to come up behind you and terrorize you? He never shows up there. You even stop worrying about him. My first day in Holland, I thought it must be heaven or a ride or something, the Froplandia ride in Utopia Land. But after a while it sunk in, there's nothing special about Holland. It's a normal, fairly sanely run old country. It's only by comparison to these benighted stakes of America that it seems like heaven. For instance, there they let you smoke plain ordinary cigarettes in restaurants and even buses with nipples, and nobody will arrest you for it. The overall tenseness of Big Sister and Big Brother, it just isn't in the air everywhere like it is here. I think they snuck up on us, friends. I think those conspiracy bugs crept up on us. I never once found myself wishing I was wearing a bulletproof vest there. No cops, no guns, nipples on TV. The most dangerous thing on the streets are the silent bicycles and the electric streetcars and cotton mouth. But the thing that really gets to you is that the generally higher expectations and standards. The very clerks themselves appear to give you the benefit of a doubt. First, they assume you're not a dumbass, as opposed to the American approach, which is to be a dumbass who expects you to be a dumbass and treats you accordingly. And everybody there speaks English, except for the people who work at McDonald's, so that's just like here. And the legal marijuana isn't even compulsory like it would be here if they ever finally did legalize it. You don't need the marijuana, though, because the streets and the buildings themselves are so totally whacked out after 300 years of tilting and general ornateness everywhere. It looks like a city drawn by Dr. Seuss on LSD. And well, friends, obviously I want to go back. So a lot of people got upset with us on the internet for bragging about what a great time we had in Amsterdam. But friends, what we're trying to remind you of is what a terrible time you're having here now. Well, maybe you're not. But like I said, it's just by comparison. I love our country, America. That's why I want to bring down the conspiracy. Of course, the best we can hope to do is tie its shoelaces together and watch it fall on its face for a little while.
Disappear in smoke. I'm telling you. running, black ants crawling, yellow ants screaming, brown ants longing. All those people longing to be free. Batman B. Batman B. All the ants in God's garden, they can't get along. Wall still running on. Sad one lump of sugar that they won't leave each other alone. Why do you have to do this? You got to let us free. Why do you have to do this? You got to set us free. Why do you have to do this? You got to set us free. Why do you have to do this? You got to set us free. And man be. And man be. Takes his honey, then he sets the flower free. But in God's garden only, man and the ants, they won't set each other free.
This thing called science. Holy crap, it's science. And science is really cool, you know? It's science is a groovy thing because it's science. Well, what's this science stuff for, you say? What does it do? Well, science is there to explain why things work the way they do. If there's some shit we don't know, then we use science to figure it out. Holy amazing shit, Batman. This acid seems to be causing that child's face to melt into a puddle of gross. Why does that happen? Well, let's use some science and figure it out, because that's what science is for. But now you got some whack nut walks up and says, it's cheese! Cheese is making that happen! The only thing that could cause that is cheese. And you say, but I don't see any cheese. And he says, that's because it's invisible cheese. You can't see the cheese unless you believe in the cheese. And you say, well, but that's completely ridiculous. And he says, you can't prove it's not cheese, so that means it's cheese. And there are people who think this way. And, you know, honestly, though, if that's what makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside, then more power to you, you know? But it's not a very scientific way of thinking, you understand? So that's why the last place this kind of thinking belongs is in a high school fucking science class, because that's what they're doing now. And in case you hadn't heard, just a bit of news for you, Reverend Toddler Boff has decided that the idea of the universe being blown out of a Middle Eastern deity's ass is just as scientific as the Big Bang. So now, some schools are being forced to teach about God in fucking science class. They're actually being forced to do this now. And if I could just piss acid, there would be some deadly water sports going on right now for some poor bastards, because it's pissing me off. And I want to take a torch and light a big bowl of oil and say, the water sports holocaust of melty, screamy pain will now begin. And just start pissing acids all over these idiots until they fucking die. They're calling this the intelligent design theory, which is really just a nickname for the we don't want our kids to question their religious brainwashing theory. But, you know, I've got a theory too. It's called the hammerhead theory, and here's how it works. The next moron I see trying to plant God in a school book, I'm gonna plant a hammer upside his fucking head. How do you like that science, fuckballs? What on earth are you sermon-farting assholes doing trying to pass off your cosmic guessing game in school science courses? It's like Diana Ross trying to pass herself off as black. Wasn't the whole arena of religion big enough for you dickheads? No, that wasn't good enough. Now you've got to pretend to be science too. Well, you know, break out the lions, because it's time to bring back a good proud Roman tradition here. The God freaks have officially forgotten their place in the world, and it's time to thin the fucking herd. When the goddamn science books are being rewritten to include an invisible mythical fuck, then it's time for some fucking genocide, my friends. It's just gone too fucking far. I mean, what's next? What are they gonna start forcing dental students to take a class on the Tooth Fairy? Are we gonna have a few chapters on the fucking Easter Bunny in biology class here? Religion doesn't belong anywhere near a fucking science book. The whole point of religion is to reject science. That's its job. Religion cannot survive without rejecting new ideas. That's the whole point. Science says the Earth is millions of years old. Religion rejects it. Science says homosexuality is genetic. Religion rejects that too. Science says, hey, you can't come back from the dead. Religion says, hey, rejected. And that's fine, you know. If that's the way you want to do things, that's perfectly okay. But if you're gonna reject science, then you can't start planting your shit in science books. How can you be that fucking stupid? It's like your brain's all crawled up Tucker Carlson's ass or something. You can't just staple the word theory on the end of a belief and magically presto it into science, okay? Explain to me the science in being commanded to chop off the end of our dicks. Show me the goddamn research papers on that one. Burning bushes, walking on water, parting the ocean, there's no science there. Intelligent design is a science like Pamela Anderson is a fucking virgin, okay? Religion has never brought us a treatment for cancer, a more fuel-efficient vehicle, a cleaner power source, or even a better fucking toaster. God has its place in the world, and that can be a very important and useful thing, but it's not and never will be science. There's nothing wrong with believing in God, okay? There's nothing wrong with that at all, just nothing. You don't need to be slapped for worshiping a God. But this isn't about God. This is about pushing beliefs where they don't belong. It's about trying to be something you're not. So think about this one. Think about this, my Christian friends. By saying religion is scientific enough to teach in science class, you're also saying that science is spiritual enough to teach in church. Whoa, didn't think of that one, did you? So I'll make you a deal. Keep your God out of science class and we'll keep science out of your churches, okay? Sound good? Because even God gave people the choice to believe in him or not. And if that's good enough for God, then it should damn well be good enough for you. And if it's not good enough, well, I guarantee you the science behind my brass knuckles can fuck up your teeth before your religion can stop me. This is to your cheese-loving ranting griffin, and that's all I have to say about that.
Well, dear listeners, I may as well get this show encoded and uploaded as soon as possible. You have just heard To the Ranting Griffin on Intelligent Design, Captain Beefheart with Ant-Man B from Troutmask Replica. Unknown Artist did some weird cartoonish sounds. It's from an hour of Slack I can't remember the number of. And it is backward and then forward. Hawkwind did The Psychedelic Warriors Disappear in Smoke. Reverend Ivan Stang and Joe Paulino. Rats from Hour of Slack number 730, Part 1, Amsterdam Special. And beginning that set is the Rudy Schwartz Project. And the song is called Nice Lawn, Asshole. This is Pastor Rex Cat, and you're listening to The Flock with No Shepherd, Maiden Voyage Show. And I'm going to end the show off with a song by Judas Priest from Angel of Retribution. This is called Revolution. Bom bidi bom ba bom ba bom 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 ram lam a ding dong and praise God. See you next time at church.
Revolution. Time for retribution.